Thanks, Heather. Well, in just a moment, I will be speaking with Kevin Crabb, who is in town to do a show at the Rex tonight and tomorrow. So here is something from the CD Waltz for Dylan. It's unbelievable but true. Kevin Crabb on Jazz FM 91.
Thank you.
That was Unbelievable But True, a song from Kevin Crabb on Jazz FM 91. And Unbelievable But True, he's here in the studio. Hey there, how are you doing?
Hello there.
All right. Great to have you here in town from L.A.
Oh, what an absolute pleasure to be here.
I just found out that you are actually part Canadian and spent your first 18 years here.
You know, I was just looking from the reception area at the CN Tower and watching the leaves flutter in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And realize that, you know, those are the imageries that I have that inspire the art, that some of which you're hearing here and on this record.
Well,
I did spend the first part of my life for 18 years, and it feels like I'm back home.
Cool. You are one of the great jazz educators. I have heard so many good stories about you. And this CD that you just made, Waltz for Dylan, features a couple of our people here, Don Thompson and Kelly Jefferson.
Oh, my God.
Eh?
Well, you have to come to Toronto to get, you know, those kinds of cats.
That's right. Now, the CD features John Beasley, and tonight you're going to be with Brian Dickinson.
Yes. It's such a pleasure.
Okay, so tonight and tomorrow night at the Rex, I want to talk to you about, first of all, about the internet, because you teach all around the world, but you were saying just before we walked in here that you teach kids here, drummers here in Canada, using Skype.
Well, it
is. Explain that to people who don't quite get the Skype thing yet.
Well, you know, first let me start by saying I was, a little bit old school, and I resisted. And when I first saw, studied on Skype myself and learned that it was an incredibly powerful tool. And I remember it being described to me how my eyes lit up when I was able to interact with someone who was too far away otherwise. And there you are. And what's interesting with snare drum technique, which is what I specialize in, it's something that, as my master teachers used to say, you can't really write a book that would appropriately help students along. You actually need to physically be in the room. And you know what? Skype suffices. It feels like you're right there with the person.
So, it's in real time, and it doesn't cost anything.
Well, and it does that, and it's
that
true
helps
too.
For a drummer who wants to pay for a lesson and paying long distance charges.
That's absolutely true. Mm. It's absolutely it's nice to actually perhaps, physically move someone's wrist in a certain way to inspire a kind of motion. But aside from something like that, everything can be accomplished on Skype, in terms of teaching what it is I'm doing, so that you can see, for instance, the teacher represent how something should be accomplished, and he can watch you and hear you in real time and analyze what's going on. So it's an incredible tool.
How do you separate your playing, your recording, and your teaching? Do you kind of allot a third to each, or how does that work in your schedule?
You know, it's interesting, because I recently had a student say, I'm going to go to school and become a teacher of music. And I thought to myself, I guess you can do that. But for me, and I think for the teachers that I respect, their teaching is an extension of their art. And so I don't really partition or allot time in that kind of way. For me, it was just sort of a natural, very organic expression of what it is I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had some of the greatest teachers. A lot of them aren't with us anymore, right? You had some great teachers.
Well, that is true, but I want to start by talking about my first master teacher, Jim Blackley, who is very much still trumpeting the importance of music through drums and jazz. And I spoke to him on the phone just about a week ago. And of course, I know that he set the stage. I then moved to Los Angeles, where I was fortunate to be in the vicinity and able to study with the great master teacher Murray Spivak, who was not only famous for a sound man and won an Oscar for his work for the sound on shows or movies like Hello, Dolly, and I think King Kong was his first. And
he
was a heavy cat.
The original King Kong.
Yeah, he did all the sound for that.
Amazing.
Yeah, and he was famous for teaching Louis Belson, for instance, as well as some symphonic greats. William Kraft studied under his tutelage. And then from there, I went to the master teacher, Richard Wilson, who was, quite frankly, you know, a bright light in the sky. He was a genius. It was like studying with Brahms or something, really. Mm-hmm. And I like to spend as much time talking about life, you know, with him as I did about music. But he was a Wunderkind who played the violin at Carnegie Hall at the age of 9 and was touring the world with big bands by the age of 13 and won 3 national endowments for his atonal ametric music. It was a symphonic music with a rhythm section, which even today, although it was done in 1974, I think it's still ahead of its time. It was that important. And so he had a profound influence on me musically and you know, personally.
Now, when you're teaching people, you're obviously, because you're a very talkative guy. When we were out in the lobby, I wish I was recording everything we've said. How much of this, because you're talking about life, and I think it's really fascinating. When I'm with somebody who I really respect, I don't just want to hear technique. I also want to hear stories, because how people perceive things and how they decide to let things affect them is going to affect their art. How much of that do you give to people when you're teaching?
Well, yeah, I have to be careful. Sometimes, you know, it turns into some sort of dissertation. And then maybe if the student doesn't recognize what it is we're talking about and how it relates to their instrument, they might not feel like they're getting their money's worth. I, of course, incorporate a lot of personal things that are going on with myself artistically because, you know, it's always a learning curve for me. And so every time something happens where there's a story and there's a reservoir of information here, and so I'll share it with that student, and hopefully they'll glean something important from it as well.
While you're in town, will you be doing anything other than doing these shows at the Rex?
Well, again, with regards back to the educational aspect, I am doing a master class workshop at Just Drums, where, you know, that's a drum shop that goes way back. Dave Hamilton there is an incredible supporter of the arts, and he's opened this beautiful facility. It's got a stage, and any facility where I'm surrounded by drums is okay with me. But
home sweet home.
But it really does feel good. It's in my old neighborhood of Willowdale, and so I'll be going there to bring some of what I've, again, to share some of what I've learned, bring it back to Toronto and pass on some of those gifts.
I think it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Kevin Crabb, C-A-R-A-B-B.
2 B's.
There we go, .com. And people can get all kinds of information about you. And they can find out where to pick up this new record. You were telling me that your wife designed the artwork for this album.
Sharla is another person that I have to talk about. Of course, I'm always thinking about her, so it makes sense that I would talk about her. And she is, you know, typically the rule is you don't usually partner with someone who's in the same business, right? So it's kind of a special relationship. We work so well together. And I think her level of insight into what it is I'm about is manifested in this artwork and this cover. I had ideas about what I thought it should be, and then off she went. And so she did this beautiful kind of impressionistic, she took a photograph and turned it into what is kind of a montage of, it looks like an impressionistic painting.
Mm-hmm. And like a 21st century impressionistic painting.
Right.
I love it.
Isn't that cool?
It's great.
And when I'm talking about impressionism, you know, that's kind of what I'm about. I think that it's something that distinguishes me, perhaps, in the sense that, you know, I think about the great artists getting together in the cafes in France and hanging out and talking and networking. And it's more than just the art on the wall or the music on the CD. There's something about the human interaction, the social humanistic interaction that goes with what, you know, I do as an artist. It's very important to me.
Well, I'm glad that you came here to town to record this at Inception. You got Don Thompson to produce it with you. So you guys, there are so many examples of the old saying, those who can't do teach. That's not true at all. And you guys are glowing examples of that, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, that's a famous, what was that, Plato, who said that true teaching can only be achieved by example.
That's that, a better saying.
That was Plato.
And now, your relationship with Don Thompson, how long have you known him?
Well, here's another kind of wonderful thing that's happened in my life. You know, it's interesting, Richard Wilson, this mentor that I talked about, he passed away, and it wasn't long after that it seemed that I was making music with Don Thompson. And I grew up as a child remembering, you know, going as a very young kid, actually. And again, that a shout out to Jim Blackley for inspiring me. It was like, hey, you need to be here and hear this person, right? So, okay. And off I would go. And I remember, you know, Don Thompson as being one of the, again, another shining light. And so it seems as though I've kind of completed the gestalt, coming full circle, and here I am now performing with Don Thompson. And so that when he heard some of my original music and wanted to become involved in this project, it was a great thrill for me. Mm-hmm. And playing with Don is, you know, I played with a lot of wonderful bass players. Boy, Don is really special. And to incorporate the great John Beasley, to bring those two together. You see, this is what I'm talking about. I love acting as sort of like this nexus point for people and this cross-cultural divide is being kind of disassembled in my bringing together, you know, these different worlds. And then Kelly Jefferson, gorgeous horn player.
We're so glad he moved here from Montreal.
Lucky. You see what I mean? It was just a perfect mixture of talent.
Well, you're going to have a great time at the Rex Hotel. It's tonight and tomorrow night at the Rex. For information, check out therex.ca. And for information on drum lessons or all things Kevin Crabb like, kevincrabb.com. Thanks for coming down.
It was an absolute pleasure.
All right.
Thank you very much.
We're going to go out with something. Set this up for us. You said this is your favorite tune, and it's called Flight.
Yeah, this one kind of did take flight. I remember almost having an out-of-body experience. Halfway through, I was able to almost be in two places at one time, and I think it's reflected in the final result. And I hope that you take flight with us upon hearing this. Thank you so much, James.
Thanks a lot. Here is Kevin Crabb, Flight on Jazz FM 91.